Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Governor Eliot Spitzer is back with us this morning. Governor, welcome back to WNYC.
Always great to be chatting with you.
So everyone's talking about recession and stimulus packages. Is New York State entering a recession?
Well, I have no crystal ball that permits me to be wiser than Bernanke and others, but certainly we are facing a very rough economic stretch. And regardless of what the precise definition of recession is, we now look at the economy, and it's fragile. We are losing revenue from where we had predicted we would be. Job growth is obviously off. The financial services sector, which is the heart and soul of what drives the New York City economy, is facing a very, very bumpy patch in here because of the subprime crisis, which is itself a story that deserves to be told and investigated. And so we in government, Mike Bloomberg in his State of the City and I in my State of the State, and next week in the budget, I propose, have to be very conscious of the fact that falling revenues mean tightening our belt, but hopefully not straying from the core priorities that we'll build for the future.
The Fed chief, Ben Bernanke, does seem to be revising his estimates of the economy downward rather quickly. Are your economic folks giving you new, more negative estimates just in the last few days?
Sure. I mean, I had a meeting with the economists up at our budget office, and we all look at the same data, and nobody, as I said, nobody has a crystal ball that permits us to say recession, yes, how deep, when will we bounce back? But it is very clear that the ripple effects of the subprime crisis that a few months ago people were saying, well, we'll be contained, it will just affect a small piece of the housing market and a few financial institutions. Clearly, that has proven not to be the case. And the enormity of the write-downs of the financial service institutions is affecting all the credit markets, job growth everywhere, consumer spending, housing valuations. All of these are very negative factors. And against that backdrop, we're still trying to maintain the priorities that we have, which are to invest in education, which long-term is what we have to do. And you can't let short-term problems throw you off your long-term strategic investments. So it's investing in education and the infrastructure of the city and upstate, hopefully pivoting towards a different foundation than the sort of hardcore manufacturing base that has, to a certain extent, withered over the last 30 years.
And that's the reason for your SUNY expansion proposal to make Buffalo and some other places real research centers. You know, President Bush is making a speech about this today. Is there a kind of stimulus package that you would like to see Washington enact that would particularly help New York?
Well, I think if you ask any governor or mayor right now what stimulus package he or she would like to see, certainly we would like to see some assistance to states and other layers of government. The Governor Schwarzenegger in California is facing a $14.5 billion deficit. He has a current fiscal year deficit of a couple billion dollars, which means that the fiscal year they're in right now, their books are out of balance by an enormous amount. We are in balance this year, but I have a $4.5 billion deficit that I have to balance, and we'll announce how we do that Tuesday in my budget address. So we would certainly like to see some assistance to states. We have suffered enormously. But I think really what we have to do is put money in the pockets of those Americans who will spend it quickly, because that is how Keynesian economics works best. When you get consumer spending into the economy quickly, and that means middle class recipients should be given dollars that they can spend right now. Now, whether that's a tax rebate of some form on the business side, it might be an immediate write-off for capital investment so that you can stimulate the capital side. Those are the things I think economists could look at that would work very, very well.
You do have a $4.5 billion budget deficit to close, as you mentioned. Who'll feel the pain? Can you give us a little preview of your budget address?
Well, the good news and the bad news, and I don't want to be Pollyannish about this, is that everybody will feel a little bit, but as a consequence, nobody will feel too much. And I think that is both the fair way to do it and the right way to do it, consonant with the priorities we've set out. Because you don't pick one sector and say the healthcare sector will pay the entire price for the deficit. What you do is apportion it across the various sectors, and really we have several buckets of major spending. Obviously, education is an enormous one. Healthcare spending is another one. We have other social services. You have the operation of government itself, and then you have long-term capital investment. And what you try to do within each sector is restructure your payments so that you are saving core services but not taking away from the investments that long-term are what we depend upon. And I give you an example. In healthcare, What we are doing is cutting back, and we succeeded last year. You may remember last year there was a little bit of a tussle over the budget that you know, there were some TV ads and back and forth, but what we really succeeded in doing...
The restructuring of state aid to hospitals.
Correct. And we succeeded, after all the back and forth, in saving $1 billion without impairing any services, began to pivot away from the sort of high-maintenance, high-cost services that are provided in hospitals towards a preventive care system. Now, this is a longer-term transition, of course, but it is part of what we've been talking about, a patient's first agenda. It's not just a slogan. What it is a recognition that prevention, primary care, really are what we have to do, and avoid the chronic diseases before they become get to such a state where you need the invasive
right.
surgery.
So that was last year. What will it be this year?
More of the same. The reimbursement structure that we have been living with for a quarter of a century is outdated. It's a reimbursement structure that encourages more invasive processes than are appropriate, less primary care, less family practice, fewer family practice physicians. So the reimbursement formula is going to be shifted in a dramatic way. We are also creating a program, Doctors Across New York, to help get family doctors into communities that don't have them. And it, again, takes a couple years for it to reach fruition, but we give payments to those in medical school and say, you agree to practice in an area that's underserved, and you will be free, not need to pay your medical school tuition and your residency bills and all the rest. It's somewhat akin to a Peace Corps for doctors to get them into those parts of the state. And, you know, it may sound surprising to folks in New York City, but in the urban inner-city areas, we have too few doctors, and certainly in our more rural upstate regions, we have too few doctors. And so we can overcome that problem by doing that. And we're also beginning another long-term agenda item, a public health effort, with respect to childhood obesity, which is a major contributor to both heart diseases and diabetes.
Governor,
these are important transitions.
Governor Spitzer is my guest on WNYC. Does the state do stimulus packages, tax cuts, or spending plans in the same way that we hear the federal government considering them?
Not really. We are not really a macroeconomic player in that regard. What we do is provide economic stimulus to institutions that we think will have a beneficial effect on the New York State structural economy. For instance, we support many of our academic institutions with the sorts of grants that will help them build for the future. But I don't think an economist would call that a macroeconomic mm-hmm. stimulus package. Yeah. We're just not either big enough or we don't have the tools. Really, the monetary policy efforts of Chairman Bernanke and the enormous economic stimulus package, multi-billion dollar, $100 billion packages that Washington can put together, states really cannot.
Might a tax increase be necessary at the state level?
No, and I think the reason for that is that a tax increase at this point would be directly contrary to what we need, both in terms of the larger economic dynamic we're facing right now, which is the desire to provide stimulus, and in addition, it would put us at a competitive disadvantage with respect to our neighboring states and states elsewhere in the country. We, for two reasons, cannot raise taxes right now. One, I don't think it's the right thing to do to encourage business to come here longer term. And two, it would be bad at a macroeconomic level.
I read that despite the deficit, you'll propose to increase state spending 5%. That's more right. than the inflation rate. Why is that a good idea?
Well, because if you spend it properly, here's the larger effort. What my budget analysts and policy folks and I have concluded is that what you want to do is have government spending increase not more than the rate of personal income growth. If you do that over the course of economic cycles, you will develop surpluses when the economy is booming, and you will have those surpluses to cushion you when there are deficits. 5.3%, which is the historic rate of personal income growth, if we increase spending at that level over time, it's a lower rate than the rate of increase that we've seen in the past 10 years, but it exceeds the CPI by a little bit. But that is the rate at which government revenue grows on average year after year, and therefore it will keep us in balance and it will keep us on an even keel, which is really what you want to do, and permit us to make the investments in our academic institutions and the infrastructure, the subway systems, the housing. One of the big announcements I made in the State of the State was a $400 million housing initiative. We all know how tight the housing market is, and I'm not talking just about the pricing at the high end, which is one problem. I'm talking about the simple lack of availability for what we call workforce housing for teachers, for cops, firefighters, those who work in the subway system, those who work in the hospitals, we need more housing, and we can leverage a $400 million fund into thousands of units.
In the State of the City address yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg assumed $11 billion in state aid this year to help close the city's budget deficit while still lowering taxes. Do you support that $11 billion number?
Well, I'll have to see how he got to $11 billion. That's a big number. I have to total it up. I obviously talk to the mayor with great regularity, and we get along great and agree with his policy objectives. And we'll have to line up exactly when I think his budget will be announced next Thursday. We have constant communications back and forth, and are always we have to be on the same page in terms of what the dollar flows will be. And whatever minor disagreements there will be, we will work through, because we obviously have to share a common agenda.
So you're not on the same page yet. You just call that a big number?
Well, I think by any objective standards, $11 billion that's a big number. I'm not saying that as though we disagree in any regard. I just have not totaled it up perhaps the way he has. I'm not disagreeing in any way. I'm just saying that we have looked at it more sector by sector, and we have had a lot of conversations over the years about how we will construct this dynamic between the state and the city, and we're on the same page by and large.
Mayor Bloomberg, by the way, asked Albany and his State of the City to enact DNA fingerprinting for anyone arrested for anything. Do you support that?
I have supported a DNA data bank for those who are convicted of felonies. I'd have to look in Parson and have a conversation with his criminal justice folks to see when he precisely how far down he goes. Does he mean for a fair beat, for instance? And I don't think we need to go quite that far. Certainly, I support it for felonies, felony convictions. And the reason for that is that it is a tool that will both convict those who are guilty and acquit those who are innocent. It is a technology that is neutral on its face, and I proposed creating an innocence commission that can go back and revisit those cases where people think there have been miscarriages. You'd use DNA to see if we can get to the truth. And so I believe that DNA, it's a cliche perhaps at this point, but DNA is the fingerprinting of this generation.
I thought he said for anyone arrested, not convicted. Did I get that wrong?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back to the language of his speech. Really, you can take the sample at arrest, but you keep it and put it into the database at conviction. Those who are acquitted, even if arrested, I think there's a powerful argument that you do not keep that in the database. If they're convicted, I think there's a reason to keep it. So I think that's the distinction.
Governor Spitzer, my guest on WNYC, you were talking about health care and the budget, and in the State of the State, you proposed using state money to cover almost all New York children with health insurance since President Bush turned down that federal-state partnership for SCHIP. Can New York still afford that?
Absolutely. And in fact, I've announced we will do that. That total number, and compared to some of our other, but now understand we have a state budget that exceeds about $126 billion. The cost of insuring the 400,000 kids in that group that fall within the 250% to 400% of federal poverty level.
Now, that's up to $80,000 a year, and some people say that's too much.
Well, let me give you the cost. The cost will be about $37 million to accomplish this. It will save money long-term because it is much better for the system to have kids insured long-term. You prevent diseases from getting to a point where they require more expensive treatments. You keep children out of the emergency room, get them preventive care. You can have electronic records. All that's on the upside. Now, understand, we are providing this for those families that earn up to 400% of federal poverty level, $82,000. But understand, this is not free. What we do, if somebody is at the income level of $80,000 for the family household, they will have to pay $1,400 for the insurance. In other words, we subsidize it, but subsidize it less and less and less as
depending on the income. Do you like Senator Clinton's idea to make it mandatory for individuals to carry health insurance?
You know, we haven't crossed that threshold yet. That has been something that Massachusetts and California both built into their universal care systems. I'm not there just yet. We haven't proposed that in New York. We're studying how we best get to universal care. Understand, the notion is that there are many people who basically roll the dice and say, I'm 30 years old. I don't think I'm going to need much health care this year. Therefore, I'll save the money and I will not pay for health insurance. And what we're doing when we require that everybody buy in is essentially getting premiums from a demographic, let's say 20 to 40-year-olds, who don't require a lot of health care, and those premium dollars help subsidize everybody else.
So it sounds like you're favorably inclined.
Well, it's one of those interesting notions, and there are some very wise people studying this for the state, and we're going to come up with something in due course. What we're doing and what I've said is that let's get there incrementally. And that is why we started with children. I think there is both a moral imperative to do that first and also an economic imperative, and that's why the S-Trip concept.
I know you got to go in a couple of minutes. A few more things real quick.
Sure.
You proposed renaming the Triborough Bridge, the RFK Memorial Bridge.
Right.
And, you know, I've had negative caller reaction to that. I did an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific call-in poll, and 8-1 people said the Triborough Bridge is such a uniquely New York name and perfectly descriptive of what it is. Name something else after RFK, they said.
Well, look, I think it's a great idea. The Kennedy family is thrilled that this has been suggested. It is something they had sought for quite a while. There had been a fair bit of support for it. I think the legislature is supportive. It is a bridge that speaks to bringing us together, joining boroughs that have different backgrounds, income levels, ethnicities, and that is what Senator Kennedy stood for. He was at a moment in time when we needed healing. He was there. He became an icon for what he stood for, and I think we should be proud he was our senator. Look, others may say name something else after him. I think renaming that bridge will be a wonderful tribute to somebody who played a pivotal role in our nation's history.
Two quick things about gambling before I let you go.
Sure.
Is New York City off-track betting closing?
Well, that is what the mayor suggested, that there were some real financial problems there. We'll have to work that one through. It's an issue to be investigated. This is a situation where there are a lot of money flows back and forth between OTB and state racing organizations. We'll have to look at the money and see.
You know, some critics say only government is so inefficient it can't make money as a bookie.
You're right. You know, I used to say that, too. When I was a prosecutor, I joked one time that I was, you know, there was a sentencing I was at for a sort of a low-level organized crime figure who'd been convicted of some gambling stuff, and I suggested to the judge that we put him in charge of OTB. Maybe we could make money.
Ouch. I hear you making a little wager, by the way, with the governor of Wisconsin this weekend. Want to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, I think we win bratwurst when the Giants win, and we send them some pastrami if the Giants lose. But, you know, frankly, I'm confident that the Giants are going to pull through. This has been a great season for them. If you look back at that moment when they were down, had lost the first two games and were down against Washington, that was a turning point. If you'd said at that moment, here's a team that's going to the NFC Championship, people would have looked at you as though you were nuts. And so it's a tale of perseverance and it's the comeback team.
The Packers are favored. Did he give you odds?
Oh, well, he's getting 2 pounds of pastrami, I think, if we lose. And I don't know how much bratwurst we're getting. But, you know, I'll be ready to take on remember that the hot dog competition?
Yeah.
I'll be able to consume all of it. I could go toe-to-toe with those guys.
They should throw in some cheese wedges or something.
You're right.
Governor Elliott Spitzer, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I recorded that interview with Governor Spitzer earlier this morning. And coming up in a minute, we'll follow up on one of the issues that we discussed there, DNA testing for anyone arrested for anything. Good idea. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Mayor Bloomberg's proposing that. As you heard, the governor wasn't quite ready to go there yet. Is it a good idea? Stay tuned.